Please be seated. Oh, that rugged cross. Oh, you've lost it. Never mind, let's pray. Father, we come in the name of our Lord Jesus, that you will please speak to us by your Spirit and enable us to put into practice what you speak to us today. For your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. So my name is Patrick. I too am one of the leaders here at Silver Street. And I would love to add to Luke's welcome, whether you're online or in the building here with us. You will need the Bible with you, as Luke said already, and we'll be reading God's word from Psalm 25. It's on page 556. Thank you. 556. So Psalm 25. Okay. We'll just give up a look. You good, Hakim? Yeah? We're amongst friends. You won't mind waiting a couple of minutes, do you? Oh, yeah, you're nearly there, just a couple of pages back. There is just, that's it. Thank you. Psalm 25. Yeah, you've got a new Bible here. It's tricky, isn't it? I see why you struggled right there. Thank you. Just from Psalm 25. Very good. So are we all there? Right, so here we go. Here's God's word. Psalm 25 of David. In you, Lord my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame, but shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Saviour, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me. For you, Lord, are good. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in their ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful towards those who keep the demands of his covenant. For the sake of your name, Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. Who then are those who fear the Lord? He will instruct them in the ways they should choose. They will spend their days in prosperity, and their descendants will inherit the land. The Lord confides in those who fear him, and he makes his covenant known to them. My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Relieve the troubles of my heart and free me from anguish. Look on my affliction and my distress and take away all my sins. See how numerous are my enemies and how fiercely they hate me. Guard my life and rescue me. Do not let me be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. My integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope, Lord, is in you. Deliver Israel, O God, from all the all their troubles. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Lovely. So I discovered that this psalm covers the whole alphabet of the Hebrew language. I couldn't take it any further than that. But what I could take further is that this psalm was written by David, as you can see. Some of you may know that David was a king, and he was the king chosen by God. David was a king, and he was a king chosen by God. The situation David finds himself in is of trouble, anguish, affliction, and distress. Over the last couple of months or so, Janice and I have been watching this series called The Underground. It's about slaves trying to escape. And so these slaves had planned a day to escape, and that day arrived. Seven of them managed to get away, and they all scattered into different directions to increase the chances of them getting away. After escaping, half of them are caught already. And their screams, their distress, their shouts can be heard. And those still on the run are so terrified. Just their faces, the terror on their face was really, really sad. They had no one to tend to. They were helpless and hopeless. And that continued pretty much through the whole series. We haven't finished the series, so I can't tell you how it ended. Apart from, there was obvious distress in them. Maybe you are here today, like David. Your heart is troubled, full of anguish, afflicted, and distressed. Possibly because of your ill health. Maybe your health, your mental health, your finances are so stretched. You can't see how you're going to pay for that bill. That rent is coming, and I don't know how I'm going to pay for it. Your housing situation is far from being ideal. Your marriage is a tough gig. He doesn't love me the way he should. She is hopeless. I don't know why she doesn't listen to me. Or perhaps I cannot seem to find that right man, that right woman. It's taking over my life. It's just stressing me out. Oh, my kids never listen to me. It is a struggle daily. I say to this one, do this. She does the other thing. I say to this one, stop while I'm busy with that one. That one goes off and does it. It is all stressful. It's troubling my heart. Oh, my job, the guys I work with, they don't understand me. I'm a Christian, but they hate me there. They say horrible things about me. They swear every time. They're always gossiping. I am fed up in my job. Or perhaps you haven't got a job. I just can't find a job. 200 applications, no replies. 300 applications, two replies, you're not suitable. Perhaps you're here this morning and your biggest problem is that I can't get on the computer to play that game. My brother is always on it. My sister is always on it. I can't get those clothes that my friends have. Or perhaps you're here this morning and you've never experienced any trouble, anguish, or distress in your life. Everything seems to be okay. I am sure that at some point, you too will experience some sort of trouble, anguish, or distress. So, what does David do in the middle of his trouble, anguish, and distress? What does he do? Does he dig deep? Really dig deep in his heart and see, how am I going to sort this out? I need to brainstorm this. Or perhaps he sets some goals and pick on his experiences, past experiences. You remember he's a king. Past experiences of how he's dealt with things. Oh, yes. Or perhaps he's going to ask one of his wives. Yes, he had quite a few. I'll speak to one of my wives and see how we can get out of this. No. Trouble, anguish, distress, and affliction leads David to humble himself before God in prayer. The fact that he runs to the Lord in prayer shows where his confidence and trust is. Look with me, verse 1 and 2. In you, Lord my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. And so David in prayer does three things. He runs to the Lord in prayer and he does three things. The first thing is, I hope this works. I might need some help. Oh, he does. So the first thing he does, he lays out what he feels to the Lord in prayer. He lays out how he feels to the Lord in prayer. He left nothing out, but laid all his feelings out. Not like some men and me, who never let everything out. We all build it up in our hearts and in our minds and every time. David here lays out everything to the Lord. And we see that from verse 15 to 19. Verse 15. He feels his feet are in a snare. He feels lonely and afflicted. You see that in verse 16. In verse 17, he has troubles of the heart and anguish. Could this be while he was on the run from King Saul? Or could this be while his own son was trying to kill him? Do you remember his son was trying to kill him and he was on the run all the time? That is shocking. Can you imagine your own child trying to kill you? So it could be that. We don't know the circumstances, but we know that his heart is troubled and is full of anguish. He feels afflicted, distressed, and full of sin. And there's more. Verse 19. My enemies are numerous, and they fiercely hate me. This is relentless. What a sad, distressing picture. And he is also worrying about the troubles of Israel. We see that in verse 22. What does it say in verse 22 there? Deliver Israel, O God, from all their troubles. Did that remind you of someone? Being hated, lonely, afflicted, bearing the troubles of the world? Did that remind you of someone? You can tell me who it reminded you of. Jesus. Oh, thank you, Hakim. What did you say, Hakim? Jesus. You have to speak up louder than that. Jesus. Oh, thank you. It reminded us of Jesus. Jesus, the suffering King, the suffering Lord. If you want to know a little bit more about that, if you're taking notes, look up Hebrews 7 and 8. Hebrews 7, verse 7 and 8, where Jesus offers up his prayers as a suffering son. Wonderful. So the first thing David does, he lays out what he feels to the Lord in prayer. He lays out how he feels to the Lord in prayer. The second thing he does, he lifts up what he needs to the Lord in prayer. He lifts up what he needs to the Lord in prayer. He is in no doubt at all that the Lord alone is the solution to his situation. Look with me, verse 3. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame. Verse 15. My eyes are ever on the Lord. I put my trust in you, as we read in verse 1 and 2. I trust in you. So David lays out how his needs before the Lord. He lifts up what he needs to the Lord. And here he goes from verse 4 to 7. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your path. He says, show me your word and teach me your path, because he knows that if the Lord doesn't do that, he's going to wander off. Guide me in your truth. We see that in verse 5. Guide me in your truth. Again, teach me. Only the Lord can guide him. Only the Lord can teach him. Not his wife, not his friends, not brainstorming, but the Lord. He wants the Lord first to remember. This is amazing. He says, verse 6, first he wants the Lord to remember his great mercy and love, but also, verse 7, don't remember. Did you notice that? So he says to the Lord, remember your great mercy, in verse 6. And in verse 7 says, don't remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. Perhaps he's thinking of those the times that he'd committed sins to the Lord with regards to taking someone else's wife. He also knows that as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed his transgressions. Verse 11 to 21. Forgive my iniquity, though it is great. He clearly confesses his sin. But David, why? Why is the Lord going to forgive you? Are you good all the time? Are you deserving of the Lord's forgiveness? Why is he going to forgive you, David? It is for those who fear the Lord. David knows that it is only for the sake of the Lord's name that he can be forgiven. And we see that in verse 11. For the sake of your name, Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. Turn to me and be gracious, David says, verse 16. He knows that with the Lord there is grace. So he continues laying out what he needs before the Lord. Verse 17 to 20. Relieve the trouble of my heart. Free me from anguish. Relieve me from the troubles of my heart. Free me from anguish. Take away the sins of my youth. Take away my sins. Why? Because you, Lord, are merciful. Guard my life and rescue me. Do not let me be put to shame. And we see that in verse 20. And so not only is David worrying about his own situation, but he's also got worries of Israel, as we read at the last few verses. Deliver Israel, he says, from all their troubles. So he lays out how he feels before the Lord. He lays out what he needs before the Lord. And thirdly, David leans on what he knows of the Lord. David leans on what he knows of the Lord. I think he'll come up in a minute. David leans on what he knows of the Lord. We see that from verse 3 to 6. He knows that no one who puts their hope in the Lord will be put to shame. Verse 5. You are my God, my Savior, David says. My hope is in you all day long, and that includes today. You promised that my house will be established forever. I cannot see it today. I'm just in a mess. It's just like stressful. I cannot see it. But all things are under your control. Even this trouble, anguish, affliction, and distress. How can you say that all the ways of the Lord are loving? He cannot see it. Jesus was that promised king, you see, that through the line of David, Jesus would come. But on that day, David couldn't see it. His circumstances were so bad. But what does he do? He leans on what he knows of the Lord. And he lays it out. You see that in verse 7. You, Lord, are good. You, Lord, are good. And he says it again in verse 8. Good and upright is the Lord. He guides, verse 9. He teaches. He confides in those who fear him. You see that in verse 14. His mercy and love are great. Back to verse 6. And they are from of old. All, not some, but all the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful. And that includes today. And we see that in verse 10. He guards the humble and delivers the nations. My God, my Savior, good and upright. Wow, what a prayer. So, what does David do? He lays out what he feels to the Lord. He lifts up what he needs to the Lord. And he leans on what he knows of the Lord. So I hear you, brothers and sisters, say to me, what's that to do with me? So what? How does that help us today? Answer, three things. Church family, whether you're here in trouble, affliction, in anguish, or distressed, I urge you to do exactly what David did. I urge you to lay out how you feel in prayer to the Lord. To lay out how you feel in prayer to the Lord. If you're here like me today, often when trouble comes, the temptation is to try and sort that thing out myself. To just like the first few minutes, think through the practical things and the changes and how can I sort this out? Resist that. And instead, what do you do? You do exactly what David did. Lay out how you feel to the Lord in prayer. Forget asking your wife or your parents or your friends. Lay out how you feel before the Lord. Stop feeding your mind with thoughts like, I really don't deserve this. Run to the Lord who is good and lay out how you feel before him. Even those really private struggles, even those really private things that you're struggling with, whether it's sin, whether it's something that you need, or whether it's not understanding something, or whether it's confidence, lay it up before the Lord. He knows everything, even what you're thinking about now. He knows. Whether you think I'm going on or I'm not going on enough, he knows. Lay out how you feel before the Lord in prayer. That's the first thing. The second thing is, lift up what you need in prayer to the Lord. All the Lord's ways are loving and good. Even when the answer is no, not yet, wait, or have this instead. Do you know sometimes you say, you ask people to pray for you or to join you in prayer, and nothing happens. Has he not heard me? He has heard you. Perhaps he's saying no. Perhaps he's saying yes. Perhaps he's saying wait. The Lord hears all your prayers if you pray in the name of our Lord Jesus. But the answer might not be what you think is best for you. By the way, trouble, affliction, and distress sometimes come in the middle of obedience to the Lord. Sometimes not, but sometimes it does. Do you remember that occasion when Jesus said to his disciples, if they could get to the other side of the lake, and then the disciples got in the boat, he says to them, get in the boat and get the other side. They went on, and halfway through, Jesus wasn't with them then. Halfway through, do you know what happened? A storm built up. And the storm got so big. And what happened? Jesus rescued them. But did they go over to the other side because they chose to do that? No, Jesus asked them to go there. It was in obedience to Jesus that happened. So sometimes, brothers and sisters, it's not what we've done. It's just God's purpose. That's what he's planned. In the midst of the obedience, trouble, affliction, anguish, and distress might come in the middle of your trial. But he always gives us what is best. So we need to trust him. God the Father used the crucifixion for his only son to bring us redemption. Now just look to the cross of our Lord Jesus. Trust him in the middle of your crisis. Trust him in the middle of your storm. So, lay out how you feel before the Lord. What was the second one? Lift up what you need before the Lord. And what's the last one? Lean on what you know of the Lord. Lean on what you know of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, the whole Bible is overflowing with God's character. Just the passage that we've looked at has at least 10. You will find hundreds yourself. I think if I went round and asked you to say something of God's character, you will all hit on one. So, lean on what you know of God's character and use that in prayer. And from our passage, here are some of the ones that we've just looked at. Our Lord shows mercy. He remembers. And sometimes he doesn't remember because he chooses not to remember. Like our sins. He's good and upright. He guides. He teaches. He instructs. He delivers. He's gracious. He's merciful. He's God, our Savior. Isn't that wonderful? All that just from our passage. I'm not making up. I'm sure you saw it. So, as I was looking at this, I did some digging of my own. And I thought, I'm going to share this with the church family. And this is what I discovered as I looked at my own investigation in God's character. I discovered that our Lord does not live in shrines, nor is he saved by human hands. Whatever is under heaven is his. Everything under the heavens, the earth, everything is his. He is greater than all he's made. Isn't that wonderful? Our God is greater than everything that he's made. He sees everything at once. He sees all equally. Isn't that wonderful? Our God is not just seeing us here at Silver Street, but he's seeing the ones in Afghanistan as well, at the same time, as clearly as he sees us here. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He is holy and righteous. That is brilliant, because I know I am a wicked person, but in our Lord Jesus, I can stand. Do you know, in our God and Savior, in our Lord Jesus, there's not even a hint of sin. He is holy in every way. In every way you can think of, he is holy. That is wonderful. That's our God. He is the final standard of good. Did you notice our passage? Three times it says he's good and faithful. He is the final standard of good. Oh, you let me down. He is the final standard of
good.
Isn't that brilliant? There is no one better. You know, my football club, Arsenal, went through the whole season. This is difficult to imagine. Went the whole season without being beaten, without losing a game. And that was great. That was good. But do you know what's happened? Yesterday they lost 5-0. They are rubbish. They are no good. My God will never have a day like that. Because he is always
good.
Oh, brilliant. So, here's another one. This will make someone giggle. Maybe just a couple of people. He has no need of a bull from their stall or goats from their pens. For every animal of the forest is his. And the cattle on the thousand hills belong to who? Our God. That is brilliant. So, why am I telling you this? Brothers and sisters, you probably know more passages than I do. Brothers and sisters, you've probably been a Christian more than I do. I urge you to use what you know of our Lord Jesus in prayer. Don't wander off and say what you think is right. Use his prayer. Use his word. Use his Bible to pray back to what he's revealed about himself in your situation. He is Lord. As I thought about David's situation, it reminded me of the man of sorrows. God himself came in Jesus to sort out our great distressing problem of sin. Look with me, verse 10. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful towards those who keep the demands of his covenant. He came not for the righteous, but for the unrighteous. Those who through Jesus can stand. For the sake of your name, Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great, David says. What? All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful towards those who keep them. If you've ever kept the Lord's commands, 100%, hands up. Oh, I'm glad to see no one did. Brothers and sisters, we will be doomed without God taking that initiative to bring us that righteousness through his mercy. Do you know what he did? He sent his own perfect son. We just looked and thought about the God who is holy, who is righteous. Do you know what he did? The God who is holy and righteous and good, as Hakim said. Do you know what he did? He took my place, because no one put their hands up when I asked that question. He took our place and did what? And died in our place. So that then you and me may not know the distress, the anguish, the affliction, and all the trouble that sin brings. All that fell on Jesus. So that then if you trust in him, brothers and sisters, you never need to worry about the distress, the trouble, the anguish, and all the confusion that sin brings. Because all that's gone on Jesus. When he died on the cross, he was taking it for you. So, it's either you take on that distress, the anguish, the trouble, yourself, or Jesus does. The choice is yours. The Bible says that you've only got one chance, I'm afraid. Once we've died, that's it. I'm not saying this to be dramatic in any way, brothers and sisters. Every week we try and share the gospel, and we're doing the same today. Believe that the Father sent his one and only Son, who died for us on the cross, so that then, whether you live or you die, you will go to heaven. Without Jesus, there's no knowing God. You take out Jesus, there's no God. Through Jesus, you'll have life. Through Jesus, you'll have escape from the destruction of sins. So, to finish off, he died our death so that we may live. I realize there's some here who cannot pray the way David did. As I've just said, either Jesus takes up your trouble, anguish, affliction, and distress, or you will on that last day. May I aid you to put your trust in the suffering King who rose back from the dead, and even as we sit here, is interceding for us. Isn't that wonderful? So, when trouble, anguish, affliction, and distress comes, what shall we do? We are to pray, and in our prayer, be honest with our Lord. Lay out how you feel before the Lord completely. Be honest. Give it to him straight. And also ask him what you need. But then finish off with praying what he's revealed himself in our Lord Jesus. I am so grateful that you've listened well and taken part in this. But friends, one day we will be in a place where there's no trouble, affliction, anguish, and distress. Why? Because of our Savior who's taken it all for us. Those troubles that David went through were temporary. Those troubles finished once he died, because David is with our Lord Jesus today. Friends, if you don't turn to him, you will die and your situation will be the same. I'm going on, I know that, but I'm going to finish. I aid you to trust in the Savior who gave himself up for us. And if you already believe in him, I aid you to do those three things when trouble comes daily. And if you haven't got any trouble, still do the same things. Praise him. I have no trouble today, Lord, but I praise you that you've revealed yourself in our Lord Jesus through your word. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So, we are going to sing again. We will sing, He Will Hold Me Fast. I think Nick's coming up. We will stand to sing, He Will Hold Me Fast.
Fear my faith will fail, Christ will hold me fast. When the tempter would prevail, he will hold me fast. I could never keep my hold through life's fearful path, for my love is often cold. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so. He will hold me fast. Those he saves are his delight. Christ will hold me fast. Precious in his holy sight, he will hold me fast. He'll not let my soul be lost. His promises shall last. Bought by him at such a cost, he will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so. He will hold me fast. For my life he bled and died. Christ will hold me fast. Justice has been satisfied. He will hold me fast. Race with him to endless life. He will hold me fast. Till I faith is turned to sight. When he comes at last, he will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so, he will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so, he will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so, he will hold me fast.
Just a couple of notices before we finish. I am delighted, and I mean that, I'm delighted to say that we will be meeting on Tuesday to pray and lay out how we feel before the Lord and lean into his what he's revealed of himself through his word. And we'll be meeting at 7:45, but to start at 8 o'clock. So it's online. Yes, you'll be very welcome. I'll give you the link before you go. So 7:45 on Tuesday. It'd be lovely for us to get together and lift our voices before the Lord.